turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We'll read verses 13 through verse 17. And three of the 30 chief went down, came to David in harvest time in the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. In the first verse of the chapter, we are informed that these are the last words of David. That is, the last words that he was inspired to write. In verses 2 through 4, he acknowledges God's grace. He acknowledges the blessings of the Lord upon his life. Verses 5 through 7, he acknowledges God's faithfulness to him. And then in verses 8 through the end of the chapter, he recalls the names and the devotion and the valor of some of his men. He refers to these in verse 8 as mighty men, and as men of power, vigorous, influential men. These were individuals who distinguished themselves by extraordinary exploits of service. In all, there were 37 of these men mentioned. And we see that at the end of the chapter in verse 38, 30 and 7 in all. Now these men, 37, there were of the 37, there were three that were referred to as chief men. Those were Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah. And their individual accomplishments are mentioned in verses 8 through verse 12. These three men are followed by two others, Abishai and Benaiah. And their individual accomplishments are mentioned in verses 18 through verse 23. And then these are followed by, these five individuals are followed by 32 other names, verses 24 through verse 39. Now, the verses that we read for our text record an incident in which the first three men, the chief men, Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah, acted together in the service of David. And we see what took place here was in the cave of Adullam. We see that in verse 3. The actual event is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 22. But here it is recounted. 1 Samuel 22 is recounted here in verses 13 through 17. And what is recounted is the act of these three men. Something very specific that these three men did. They brought water unto David. And this was followed by an illustrative act of David and the fact that he didn't drink the water, but he poured it out unto the Lord there in verse 16. But in these verses, there are many lessons to learn about true service to God. So we want to speak tonight on poured out unto the Lord in His service. First of all, we want to consider the service of these men. Consider the circumstances at the time. David, of course, had been anointed king due to Saul's many attempts upon his life. David was a fugitive, fleeing for his life, and he takes refuge in this cave in Adullam. And it was while in that cave that he was inspired of the Holy Spirit to write Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. Now notice, if we go over to Psalm 57, notice what David wrote concerning this time. Psalm 57. Notice verse 1. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." In verse 3, he speaks of the reproach of him that would swallow me up. In verse 6, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." Verse 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst there whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah." So we get a little bit of an idea of the turmoil that he was in. And then notice over in Psalm 142, another psalm that he wrote during this time, Psalm 142, verse 2, he said, "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, when thou knewest my path, in the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul." So David is living basically like an animal in a very disheartening place, a dark and dreary and damp cave. At the time that he wrote Psalm 142, he's alone. He's in a very low state, a place of helplessness. And it was during this time, 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2, that 400 men came to where David was in exile in that cave. And these 400 men are only a handful compared to the host of Israel. But we're told there in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2 that 400 men came to David. And these 400 men would prove to be very faithful to David. And they are a picture of a servant of the Lord. Now, due to Saul's distraction with David, and because of the misapplication of Saul's time and energy, everything is consumed upon killing David. The Philistines were able to set up fortifications on Israelite soil. And we read in verse 14 of our text that some of these fortifications were around Bethlehem, David's hometown. But these 400 men did not allow adverse circumstances to get in the way of their loyalty to David. These 400 men were absolutely committed to David in spite of all the enemy obstacles. They were loyal. They were committed in spite of circumstances, in spite of appearances. David is in exile with no external advantages to recommend him to these men. And he certainly was not in any capacity able to reward them for anything that they would do for him. Yet these 400 men came to David, and they were zealous and willing to venture out in his cause. They were willing to be identified with David, even though David was a fugitive at this time. They're willing to be associated with him. Again, David is a fugitive. Doesn't look like he's ever going to be king. But in spite of all of that, these 400 men were very loyal to David. Again, they're a small minority compared to all the Israelites. 400 men, very, very small minority. But they didn't concern themselves about fitting in, and they certainly did not mind being in the minority. And though this is a very dark and stressful time in the life of David, and though David, again, was not yet king, and it doesn't appear like he's ever going to be king, and though conditions were miserable, and though circumstances were dire, these men to be their king. In spite of circumstances, in spite of the situation, in spite of appearances, these men considered David to be their king, and they were willing to follow him. They were willing to follow him anywhere. And these 400 men took the positions of servants. Now, among these 400 men, there were these three men. There were these 37 men that are mentioned in our text. So as David sits in this cave, he now has 400 men with him. And David knows that his birthplace, Bethlehem, is now occupied by the enemy, the Philistines. And David begins to think of times gone by, and he begins to think of the water in Bethlehem. And as he thought upon that, he began to yearn for that water. He began to have a craving for a drink of water. And he says in verse 15 of our text, "Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." That was not a command. It was not an order. It was not a demand. It was not a request. It was not even a suggestion. It was simply a statement of desire. He desired the water from Bethlehem. It was simply a statement about what would please him at this moment. A drink of water. It was a statement about that which would be gratifying to him. And as those 400 men sat there with David, they heard the desire of his heart. Three men, Dino, Eleazar, and Shammah. They were very sensitive to David. They were greatly affected by the words of David. And they hear these words of David. They hear the longing of their king. If I could only have a drink of the water from Bethlehem. Just a drink of the water from Bethlehem. And immediately their hearts are stirred. David has spoken. Their hearts are stirred. David has expressed a desire. This isn't a command. He simply expressed a desire. Something that would be pleasing to him. And their hearts are stirred. All that more people would be stirred. Just hearing the desire of the Lord. Not even a command. But just hearing that such and such would please the Lord. And immediately hearts ought to be stirred. They hear again, if I could only have a drink of the water from Bethlehem. And those very simple words grip their hearts. This is what David desires. This is what their king desires. This is what would be pleasing to their king. Just a drink of water. Seems very trivial. But their hearts are gripped. They now know. David having spoken. They now know water from Bethlehem would please David. That's all they needed to know. That's all they needed to know. This water would be pleasing to David. Knowing that, they are now willing to do whatever was necessary. Again, there's 400 men there. Three are stirred. The 400 are a minority. 400 men who recognize David as king. And it is a minority today, of course, those who recognize Jesus Christ as king. But in that minority, there was even another minority, 37 men that were set apart from these. And of those 37, there were five others who were set apart from them. From those five, there were three. So the minority, you have a minority, and then within that minority, you have several minorities. It's a minority today that recognizes Christ as King. It's even a smaller minority that all they have to do is hear such and such would please God, and immediately their hearts are stirred. That's even a smaller minority. Three men. They were willing to do whatever was necessary to get this water. Now the cave of Adullam is about 17 miles southwest of Jerusalem. About 10 miles southeast of Gath. So these men would have to travel to Bethlehem approximately 12 miles. And they would have to go through all sorts of dangerous stretches of land because of the Philistines to get to those wells, that particular well of Bethlehem. Add to that challenge the heavy infestation and fortifications of the Philistines. And this would be no easy task to get to Bethlehem, get the water, and bring it back to David. But the mindset of these men was no matter what danger they had to face, no matter what paths they had to take, no matter how long it took them, and no matter what it cost them, it would be worth it all because it would please David. David desires water from Bethlehem. That water would be pleasing to him. So they're willing to do whatever is necessary to bring that water to David. They were intent on providing the king with his desires. They were intent on giving to him that which was pleased, would be pleasing and gratifying to him. So they would have to travel about 12 miles from the cave along the dusty, dry hills of Judea, fight their way through Philistine lines, fight their way to the well, draw the water, fight their way out, and then carry the water 12 miles back to David. And this they did. And they did so willingly. It wasn't as if David said, "Adino, Eleazar, Shammah, go get me this water." They no doubt would have. But he didn't have to issue a command. All he had to do was state what would give him delight, that which would be pleasing to him. And they were willing to go, willing to risk their lives. Notice verse 17. They did so in jeopardy, in risk of their lives. Put their lives on the line just to do what was pleasing to David. Most today are not interested even in what the Lord commands, let alone that which would simply please Him. So they put their lives on the line. They subjected themselves to the desire of David. It seems like as they were sitting in that cave, these men were just hanging on every word that David spoke, looking for opportunities to fulfill their service to him. And again, all he had to do was state a desire. And their hearts were stirred, and immediately they were in motion. They now, all they had to know was the water was pleasing to him. That's all they had to know. That's it. That should be so with us. All we have to know is such and such would please God. That's enough. That's enough. This will please the Lord. That's all we need to know. Well, you know, it's not really commanded. You see, that's what set these apart. That's the minority. Doesn't have to be commanded. All they had to know was it would please the Lord. It would please David. And off they went to get that which would please him. And it became their joy to do so. I'm not saying that this was an easy task. Certainly it wasn't. But all they had to hear was, this would please David. And it became their joy to please him. That ought to be so with us. And we ought to hang on every word, looking for opportunity to do that which would please him. A drink of water. Only a drink. Very trivial. But it wasn't trivial to them. And the reason it wasn't trivial to them was because this would please David. And if it pleases our king, it's not a trivial matter. a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem. They didn't even question it. They didn't say, David, you know there's water nearby. Why does it have to be from Bethlehem? Didn't matter. They didn't question. All they needed to know was the water of Bethlehem would please David. That's all they needed. They didn't ask questions. Well, why can't we do it this way? All they needed to know, David wants water from Bethlehem. There might have been water right outside that cave. I don't know. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted water from Bethlehem. So this was not a matter of question to them. Nor did it seem unreasonable to them to go 24 miles encountering the enemy for a drink of water. Did not seem unreasonable to them. Because it pleased David. It pleased David. They didn't look for an easier way. This is what will please David. This is what we'll do. No question. Didn't seem a bit unreasonable to them to go 24 miles, exposing themselves to dangers and troubles, risking their lives for a drink of water, was not unreasonable to them. And we have folks today, it is unreasonable for them to be in church twice on Sunday. That's unreasonable to them. Well, the Lord understands I've got to have some free time. These men went 24 miles risking their lives for what would seem trivial to anybody. But they knew it would please David. He expressed his desire for a drink of water from Bethlehem, and that was all the motivation that they needed. Didn't need any other motivation. Such and such will please the Lord. That's the only motivation that you and I should need. It'll please God. You don't need any other motivation. And they immediately, as soon as David expressed his desire, they immediately felt an obligation to act. Again, it wasn't a command. He didn't tell him, go get me water. He just stated a desire. But immediately, knowing that this would please David, they felt an obligation. They felt an obligation to get this water. And they felt a purpose. As they went the 12 miles and then the 12 miles back, these three men had a purpose. The purpose was that David would be pleased. So these three men were affected by the desires of David. Not just the commands. All for more people to be affected by the commands of God. But this is something deeper. This is a greater minority. Affected by the desires of David. Not the commands, the desires. And now they're motivated. And they felt obligated to go 24 miles, exposing themselves to danger and hardships with no regard for themselves, risking their lives to obtain a drink of water from a certain well. Whatever difficulties they had to endure, You can hear them say over and over, "This is for David. This is for David. As they went up the hills, this is for David. As they got tired, this is for David. As they faced dangers, this is for David." We need to tell ourselves that. This is for the Lord. This is for the Lord. Certainly I can endure this. It's for Him. It'll please Him. This is for David. Again, they would, whatever they had to go through, to them it was worth all the effort. Why? Because it pleased David. Because it pleased David. And it ought to be worth all the effort, all the time, everything we have to go through, because it pleased the Lord. That's all we should need. Nothing else. So they would travel the 12 miles from the cave, exposing themselves to one danger after another, risking their lives. And then they would travel the 12 miles back to the cave, again exposing themselves to many dangers and risking their lives. Why did they do this? Because they wanted to please the king. Because their desire to please their king was bigger than anything else. Bigger than all the fortifications. Bigger than all the difficulties. David expresses a desire for water from a certain well in Bethlehem. And immediately, they were consumed. We've got to get this water for David. They became engrossed in getting this water for David. The thought of pleasing the king gripped their hearts. It moved them, compelled them. They were absolutely enthralled to have the opportunity to please David. That is service. That is an example of true service. Now, whatever reason these men had to be willing to give their lives for David, we the more. First of all, we're not talking about David. We're talking about Christ. If these men were willing to risk their lives for David, certainly we ought to for Christ. And whatever David had done for these men, the Lord has done more for us. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3, there's a description of our terrible and hopeless condition before salvation. And then we read in Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us and hath raised us up. Oh, how we ought to want to please Him. The God who has so blessed us can be pleased. He can be pleased. He can be pleased by us. that ought to immediately grip our hearts, that ought to immediately stir our hearts. God can be pleased by me. What an opportunity to please the Lord. People want to argue about every single command there is. Why don't you just do what's pleasing to God? These men didn't question. All they needed to know was this will please David. We ought to be listening to his every word for opportunities to please the Lord. God can be pleased by us. Therefore, it ought to be our aim. It ought to be our purpose. It ought to be the aspiration of our life to please Him. He can be pleased by us. That ought to motivate us. That ought to drive us. That ought to fill us with joy. It ought to give us a sense of obligation. It ought to give us a willingness to risk life and limb to please Him. I can please Him. I can please Him today. We ought to be willing to do so. And if it can please Him, is it unreasonable? Is it unreasonable to please the one who saved your soul? You will never spend time in hell because of Him. Is it not reasonable to do that which is pleasing to Him? Because of their love and loyalty to David, pleasing Him was more important than anything else. Nothing else mattered. David desires this water. It would please him. It would gratify him. It's worth it all. And off they went. So it ought to be with us concerning the Lord. Then notice this act of David. These mighty men whom David had, hearing the desire of David, a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, traveled the 24 miles. They arrive back at the cave. They have a vessel. And in that vessel is water. And oh, how must have thrilled their hearts to enter into that cave and to go up to David and hand him that vessel of water. And what did David do? We read in verse 16, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. It does not say they handed him the water and it slipped out of his hand and spilt on the ground. It's not what it says. It says he poured it out on purpose. To spill is an accident. To pour implies thought, purpose, and intention. No doubt David was thankful for that water. But as he thought upon what these three had done to obtain it for him, their love, their dedication, their hard work, the risk of their life, the weariness that they had to go through. And I'm sure by the time they get back, they look very weary. And I'm sure there were some wounds, some marks upon them. And as he thought of their endurance, he poured it out. He poured it out. And this was an illustration of what they had done. He poured it out. In so doing, we are reminded of the Old Testament drink offerings that were consecrated and poured out to the Lord in offering and service to Him. Everything we have, the drink offerings teach us this, that everything we have and everything we do ought to be unto Him. He poured it out. It doesn't just say He poured it on the ground. He poured it out unto the Lord. He poured it all out. Every drop. And He did so with praise to God. And He did so with thanksgiving. With love. In worship. David poured that water out unto the Lord. He was worshiping God. And he did so for the honor and glory of the Lord. He poured it all out. And he never regretted it. Never regretted it. This is an illustration that we are to serve God till we have nothing left. Till there's nothing left, we are to serve the Lord. Again, think about when these three men handed that water to David. All the joy. When they handed that water to David, they thought, it's been worth it all. Can't wait. Can't wait for him to drink it. And they watched David with anticipation, expecting him to drink the water. And he pours it out. Pours it out. Not one of them complained. What are you doing, David? Stop! They watched him pour it out. No one questioned. Why did he pour that water out? But I believe they rejoiced. Because after all, what they had done, everything they had gone through, was all for Him. And did He not have the right to do whatever He pleased? He's the King. Oh, how many times people say, oh, I've served God X amount of years and this is what happens. Oh, your attitude is all wrong. I doubt seriously that you serve God at all.
They went through all they went through. Brought that water to David and he poured it out. And not one of them complained. Because it was for him. And if he wants to drink it, that's fine. If he wants to take a bath in it, that's fine. If he wants to pour it out, that's fine. It's his. We did it for him. These men were willing to give all. And to illustrate and to symbolize this, David poured it all out unto the Lord. He's symbolizing what they had done. The carnal individuals will say, what a waste. What a terrible waste. As you pour that water out and just watch it go into the ground. What a waste! It was done for David. It pleased David. Therefore, it's not a waste. How many times, because things don't turn out the way people had planned. Oh, what a waste. I've wasted all these years. If it pleased God, it's not a waste. It's never a waste to please God. Never. No matter what you have to go through, it's not a waste. Poured it all, he poured it out unto the Lord. We've been blessed by God. We lived our lives contrary to God, against God, against His will, against His holiness, against His authority. Lived in direct rebellion against God. Fully deserved the almighty wrath of God. And God, because He wanted to, forgave. And has delivered us from the curse and from the hand of divine justice. And we've been brought out and plucked from the fire, washed from the mud and slime of sin, set free from the dominion of sin. Taken off the broad road that leads to destruction. We have been gloriously saved. Should we not be a people willing to pour it all out unto Him? I'm not talking now about pouring water on the ground. I'm talking about pouring all that we are into the service of Him, unto the Lord. How can anything that would please Him be unreasonable? How can it be unreasonable? It pleases God. It pleases God for men to dress like men, women to dress like women. It pleases God for us to separate from places of amusement. It pleases God. Well, I don't see what's wrong with it. It pleases God. What else do you need? It pleases the one who saved your soul. That's all you need. That ought to immediately stir our hearts. Well, you know, the Lord understands that, you know, I've got to have my own free time, and on they go. What they mean by that is, I'll live my life 99.99% of the time, and I'll give the Lord the rest, if it's convenient. And the Lord understands. You might want to check in. You might really want to do a personal examination of your salvation, if that's your attitude. Because that's the same thing the world does.
there hasn't been much of a change. If you and I are saved, we ought to belong to those 400 men. It's a minority. It simply recognizes the Lord as King. But in that 400, there were some very special men, 37 mentioned, but there were three who stood out above all the rest. These three, 24 miles, to get that which seems so trivial. If it pleases the Lord, it's not trivial. If it pleases the Lord, that's big. That's important. It pleases Him. Oh, but you don't understand, it's so hard. 24 miles through enemy territory. There wasn't anything easy about it. God didn't call us to do just what is easy. It takes perseverance to serve the Lord. And what is the force behind perseverance is a love for the Lord. You love somebody, you'd be amazed how much you can do on their behalf. And you'll do it because it pleases them many times. Oh, how much reason we have tonight to simply do what pleases God. We ought to hang on every word for opportunity to please God. And if God can be pleased, then He can be displeased. That ought to frighten us. That ought to break our hearts. That we would do anything that would displease the one who saved our soul. How can a child of God make light of sin, knowing that sin displeases the Lord? It ought to grieve us that we've displeased Him. And it ought to motivate us. I can please God. And again, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, that needs to be our desire. No matter what anyone else is doing, I want to please the Lord. I just want to do that which is pleasing to Him. That needs to be our desire. Circumstances don't determine that. We just simply desire to please Him, no matter what the circumstance. No matter what anybody else is doing. Well, they did this, so I did. Well, you've got it all wrong right there. Got it all wrong. You do what's pleasing to God. And there's joy in that. There's happiness. When a true servant does that which is pleasing to his master, there's joy. There's joy in pleasing the Lord. Oh, that we would follow these examples of service to God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.